My name is Michalis Pantazopoulos. I'm managing the Liberian Registry in Piraeus since 2004. The registry today has 4,200 vessels worldwide, about 1,000 owned by Greek ship owners, and we thank them for this. We have a panel of distinguished guests. I will start with our lady, Despina Panayotou Theodosiou, who is managing director of Tototheo Group, offering maritime satellite and telecommunication services to shipping and to land. They just signed a major deal for 1,500 vessels. Great. I have also to my left, Andreas Hadjipetrou, managing director of Columbia Ship Management out of Limassol, with more than 200 vessels under management from different shipping centers in Limassol, Hamburg, Singapore. Next is Theo Baltazis, managing director of Technomar, a Greek-based ship managing company with more than 60 dry and container vessels, dry bulkers and container vessels under management. And last, Marcos Vasilikos, managing director of Eurobulk, a Greek-located ship managing company, managing bulk carriers and containers, about 30 for their own interest. What we have decided is, instead of me making a question and everybody give a reply and all of that, we thought to try to be a little innovative and add value to you as an audience, not to bore you. So we decided to go a little different. One of our panelists will make a presentation, a short presentation, touching some of the issues of the very challenging subject. Actually, optimizing technical management and try to achieve fleet performance, it's not your goal in the hard market condition of today. It has been the goal of shipping in good times also. And it's not only to protect the asset, the vessel, or the crew, the safety, the environment, and to be in compliance with the ever-developing regulations. At the end of the day, all of these investors that you have in the morning, the banks, the private equity, etc., they need to see a profit. The shareholder needs to see a profit. Can that be done? And how many components or stakeholders are contributors to such a profit? Is it only what we traditionally thinking shipping operating cost, like the OPEX, the voyage expense, the claims, the dry docks, the surveys, or it should be considered in a broader sense, outside the box? Could the financiers, the underwriters, the P&I clubs, the hull and machinery, the shipyards, the port authorities, the charterers, the vetting institutions that they vet your ship being right ship or the oil majors, the labor unions, the ITF, class society, flag, us, others, could we start thinking on shipping operating cost, not in a sense of just dollars, but how we can make savings in dollars, but a better tomorrow and upgrade at the same time the image of shipping industry worldwide? To this challenging question, Marcos Vasilikos, please.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. I have prepared a few slides in order to make the presentation a little bit easier. I hope that I will assist my co-panelists in continuing with their individual subjects. The first slide is the development of the dry shipping indices over the last 17 years. It may be a very, very familiar graph to the majority of the people in this room, but I wanted to show that we are still at the very low part of the cycle, and where we have been really since 2008, after the Lehman, the Searson Lehman collapse, with some upticks, of course. And despite the optimism of some of the this morning panelists, the picture is not rosy, and a lot of ship owners still have to operate their ships at freight below operating costs. Thus, the optimization of technical management has become more important than ever. I've tried to list a few issues which one could address in order to optimize operating expenses and enhance income. And I will start with those referring to optimizing operating expense. Some of them may look familiar, some others may not. This is some issues that we have addressed in our company, and some of those have been very successful. First of all, one should distinguish the operating expenses and define management indices and measure those accurately. We should prepare strict annual budgets and follow them regularly during the year. We have to utilize information technology and any kind of technology that may prove useful. Of course, employ experienced people and specialists to monitor costs and ship's performance. Renegotiate contracts and extend payment terms is also important in this environment, but in general as well. We should evaluate the crew employment contracts and try to eliminate hidden costs and unnecessary bonuses. The market has changed, and it has changed for everybody, not just the owner, but all the participants. Try to reduce crew complement is another idea, without, of course, compromising safety and security. We can use technology here, and there are some bright ideas in this area. We should also manage our inventories efficiently, and we can also consider hedging some of our inventories, like the bunkers. The value of bunkers is now very important, and with the fluctuation of the price of oil, this value may fluctuate as well, and owners, without understanding, may find themselves exposed to this risk. We can also introduce competition between our suppliers. Finally, we can utilize technology to manage big data. This is also a modern issue, because we are all collecting a lot of data, and sometimes we cannot extract any useful information out of this data. Of course, what I've listed here is only a few issues. I'm sure that you can think of at least as many, but I just want to give you some general ideas. On the income side now, you can also try to enhance your income by reviewing probably charter party descriptions and try to make your assets as attractive as possible. And of course, by implementing technological improvements on your ships, because as Mr. Papagiannopoulos said before, building a new ship is very expensive. We are running relatively young ships, so we could try to improve the existing fleet. I could give you an example, the installation of alpha lubricators, just an example, or trim optimization systems. I can list at least 10 things that you can do which can improve the performance of your ship. Consider the renewal of your fleet, of course, with younger tonnage, with eco features. This is something that should be done. We should try to reduce idle time, both technical and commercial. And we should also try to protect our valuable cash reserves. In doing so, there are some general considerations which I have faced, which are certainly important. We shouldn't hesitate to take tough decisions like disposal of assets, breaking bonds with some of our beloved suppliers, even employees. These are all tough decisions, but in this market and in general as well, it's something that we should all take. We should cooperate with our bankers, and as somebody in the morning panels said, we should rather initiate restructuring discussions rather than waiting for the problem to come to us by our bankers. Of course, in doing so, we have to overcome some of our inhibitions, but this is necessary. We should try to improve communications and review decision-making within our organizations. Assign specific jobs to individuals within the organization and ensure that the top management is fully dedicated in these processes. I'm afraid also that the top management should support their managers when they implement such efforts because they may become unpopular within their organization. Thank you, and this is as an introduction to the rest of the panelists. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcos. Theo, I think you have several characteristics in terms of fleet composition, bulkers and containers, so what is the perspective?
I will lighten a little bit Marcos' presentation because I feel a little bit depressed giving us the indexes, how they perform over the last 30 years. Basically, what we are doing in ship management companies is very focused. We have basically five core tasks. One of them is technical, one of them is crewing, one of them is safety, one of them is accounting and finance, and the last but not least is the purchasing. So these five tasks basically have to be optimized. Of course, these tasks are done by all the shipping management companies around the world. And if we are talking about the global picture, we have something like 1,500 shipping companies managing more than 10 ships each. Out of these ones, we have only 10% managing more than 40 ships. So we are not talking about a huge market. We are talking about a market which is very focused, despite the size of it. These managers have some very distinct characteristics. I define that there are only three specific categories of managers. One of them is the third-party managers, and Andreas next to me could elaborate a little bit more, like Columbia, V-Ships, and so on. The next category is large owners, operators. They manage their own fleet, like Maersk and CMA, SSM, and so on. And the last but not least, the one that we are used to and the ones that we are going to focus on is owners managing their own fleet. All of them have exactly the same goal: maximize income, minimize expenses. Something very easy to say, but sometimes very difficult to be achieved. Optimizing this target, this goal, is something that varies from owner to owner. If we have in the panel, in the room, 10 owners and ask them which is the way to reach this goal, I'm quite sure that you will hear different approaches. Everyone has his own angle of approach for this particular task. That creates, of course, a very complex environment where managers have to operate within. A lot of ink and a lot of stories have been told about these famous KPIs, key performance indicators, and which are created by the performance indicators, numerical values for each specific ship for various tasks, and a small formula calculation, very simple, usually creates these KPIs. KPI is a numerical objective measurement of performance. We can create various KPIs by a thousand of performance indicators. So PIs create KPIs. And on top of that, a cluster of KPIs create ship performance indexes, being operational, technical, environmental, security, human resource, and navigational safety. The list is endless. We can go on and on and on and achieve the famous paralysis by analysis. Is this how Greek ship managers perform their duties? Of course not. Maybe this is something that differentiates us from the rest of the world or from the very corporate structures. And that's basically the way that we have attacked this, let's say, performance and the optimizing of our fleet in our company by minimizing to a certain degree what we follow and what we are checking and what we are doing and how we improve our performance. We have created a very simple index, which is the loss of income per ship days. That means if over a year we lose off highs, let's say $200,000, and we have total 20,000 ship days, ships multiplied by the ship days per year, that means we have a magic figure of $10 per ship day loss. This is an indication, of course, it's not the A and Z of the whole optimization, but attached next to the actual running expenses of the ships, which are followed strictly and monthly, I would say actually nowadays weekly, we try to improve our performance by optimizing, let's say, the end result. So I would say that this is something that we do. It is not probably what other companies do. And I would be very glad to hear Andreas' presentation to see how they tackle this optimizing. We tend to do things in a very simple way. And probably Marcos is doing things differently and everybody else in the room doing the same job as I do things their own way. I'm afraid there is no blueprint solution to tackle this approach and this target. But at the end of the day, that is the beauty of shipping. And that's why everybody in the room is very happy being in this industry that we love. Thank you very much.
Andreas, your turn.
Well, Theo said it's my turn, so I have to. Okay. When I have agreed with Nicolas to join the the panel today. I thought, okay, Greece, shipping capital really, and talking to people who really know what it's all about. So I'm sure that nobody really expects from a third-party manager like Columbia to sit here and tell you that you have to negotiate with your suppliers so you get better prices. I think this is what everybody does, and on this basis, I largely agree with the presentation of Markus. I think these are topics that we all do and cover on a day-to-day. So what I would like to share with you is our experience of dealing with different owners around the world. And I will exclude Greece, because in Greece, as you know, we have teamed up with Tsakos family for the management of the own fleet, Tsakos Columbia. So I think the point is, how does everybody understand optimization? And by the example I will, by the experience I will share with you, I think you will agree with me at the end that everybody understands it differently or has a different way of applying optimization. So I'll take a couple of extremes. Scandinavian client, a very well-known company in tankers. They only do subcontracting of the third-party management to managers. They use three different managers, maybe four, and they employ in their own office only a handful of people, about 15 people, for the entire organization. And we're discussing of a fleet of, let's say, 40 to 50 tankers. So the way they apply optimization in their own processes, they have a lean structure, obviously, and they say, you are my manager, I trust you and I control you by the budget and via KPIs, and you are left to do the management of the fleet. You are fully authorized to manage my ships. The other extreme is, if you see in Asia, a client with similar number of ships, similar type of ships, and it's a true fact, they employ about 25 people to control the work that our 10 people are doing for their fleet. They do apply this control on everything. At the same time, you have, and this is also public knowledge, Maersk, CMA, they are now assigning ships to third-party managers because obviously they have seen the need of benchmarking. So on this basis, my contribution to this is that really optimization depends as well as how companies perceive that optimization applies. The example of the operator in Scandinavia is clearly a company which is focused on, they know how much the costs are gonna be, and they concentrate purely on maximizing their earnings. So the company in Asia that they control fully the OPEX, if I control and check the costs really, which company is the one that that has the lowest OPEX as far as on our side as is confirmed, I can tell you that they're about the same. It's not really a difference on the OPEX, how much each ship is costing, because costs are costs. So the idea is not really to squeeze on the expenses and make sure that, yes, I lower my cost, but it's rather ensuring that you have a sustained operating level, which is lean, and the lean structure also supports optimization.
Okay, we had three almost different views, but I give the floor to Despina, because he represents in a way technology, and I think all three ship managing company panelists, they use one way or another technology to reduce the operating cost. So let's see what Despina will have to say.
Thank you, Michalis. Good afternoon. Indeed, I will address Marcos's points on technology from the presentation and talk a little bit about smart operations and smart shipping and how it can help with optimization of our operations. The need for improved performance has introduced concepts like the connected ship, and shipping companies are taking initiatives for organizational change. However, this change is significant. Almost every aspect of maritime operations is redesigned to better measure activity, analyze data that you mentioned before, and optimize processes. The truth is that you cannot manage what you don't measure. And metrics are part of any successful organization and can help managers know where they stand, understand performance, provide benchmarks, and offer goals. The shipping industry, we all know, is conservative and change comes slowly. Companies need to help their employees embrace a new way so they can be prepared to make the best of it. And it is also true that not all shipping companies have the analytical resources and decisions may be taken on information that their competitors have. Furthermore, even though many companies already have the connectivity to allow them to operate smart ships, there are still many that do not. To see the full effects of smart operations, we need to address the challenges on the operation side, and they're pretty much the same for everyone. Shipping companies operate globally. Their assets are spread geographically. There are still many ships with dated equipment, and there are inherited procedures that may not be so effective anymore. What's more, we have constantly new legislation. We've addressed it before today. And with smart operations, ship operators need to consider the connectivity cost, the way to analyze the data, and the changes to the procedures. Advances in ICT and big data will have a profound effect on the maritime industry. Cloud-based models mirror physical assets, providing new ways for owners and managers to optimize ship functions to improve efficiency and safety performance. Progress in computing power and faster processing have enabled automations to manage complex systems effectively. The key to success for any business in today's climate is based on swift decision making, and here the access to updated information is vital. It's clearly a competitive advantage if a company can make faster and more informed decisions compared to the competition. The trade-off is always to what extent the investment in new technology can be offset by a reduction in the vessel's daily cost base. When it comes to operational efficiency, there is increasing pressure on ship operators to set themselves apart from the competition by providing a better overview about the vessel's operation. These requirements are pushing operators to bring the vessel closer to the office with a need to manage, monitor, control, and improve these processes. Here, it is important to understand big data and how the shipping industry can introduce a competitive advantage by embracing ICT and utilizing satellite communication as an enabler. The raw data is worth nothing, and the massive volumes of data are often collected in an unstructured manner. But data can improve the way we manage our business and create a competitive advantage if we structure the data and transform it into information that can support the decision-making processes among the various stakeholders in the shipping industry, be it better fuel efficiency, lower fuel costs, lower equipment life cycles, lower maintenance, and replacement costs. Michali, if I have a further half a second, I would like to also address our seafarers. And working for a technology company, we need to deal with their worries every day. When discussing about technology and it's obvious that the new generation of seafarers, they're born and raised with technology, and they expect that they will be connected when sailing. They will keep in touch with their family. They can access social media websites. However, what happens with the crew of an older generation, with the masters and chief engineers that were used to making decisions based on their own skills and experience? Today, although technology is enabling them, it is also allowing the shore side, and this is somewhere where you can correct me, so allowing the shore side, sometimes people with no seagoing experience, to be involved with their decisions. This is not necessarily a bad thing, as communication and team operation usually leads to better results. We should consider, though, that it is a difficult change for the previous generation of masters who may feel that their authority is undermined. Concluding, the last few years, we have seen a shift to advanced operations, and the technology introduced is innovative, and there's growing receptiveness and adaptability by the shipping operators. The trend towards VSAT usage for the following years is an indication that current data is critical for the operations of shipping companies, and not only are they willing to use these new capabilities, but they already find them essential for their day-to-day tasks. It seems that ship intelligence is going to be the driving force that will determine the future of our industry. So our advice is that shipping companies utilize these capabilities to their advantage to differentiate themselves from competition and to lower costs, improve efficiency, and meet growing commercial demands. Thank you.
Thank you, Despina. Now, I want you to interact each other. And you heard Theo what Andrea said. The Norwegian makes a lot of money, and the Asian owner spends the money that he could have earned by checking the manager. So, what is actually the profit today? You have vessels. What it costs you and what you make in general sense. Then let me give you something. I went to a shipping company about a week ago, and of course, before you enter the door to ask flag service, etc., they say how much discount you will give me. And then they gave me this great story that, you know, we are a very great company because we have less than 4,000 per day operating cost across the board on our fleet. They have different fleet, tankers, bulk carriers, etc., mixed fleet. So is the money made of these companies out of the providers giving discounts? Or actually, I mean, so tell what?
I'm afraid no. That's a blunt answer, no. Nowadays, I have to speak only for containers and bulk carriers. So none of the two are making anything substantial. Probably the bulkers nowadays, they are making a little bit of a profit. But containers, I'm afraid, are in the red for a prolonged period of time. So monies are not made nowadays. So whatever Despina, and I have to congratulate Despina, because when I'm listening to her every time, I feel like I have to go back at the university. So she's so technical and so sophisticated in her presentations. But Despina, I'm afraid that nowadays there aren't any spare money to invest in technology. That's unfortunate, but that's a real fact. And over the last, I would say, 10 years, probably going back in 2008, 2009, when there was crazy times, you wouldn't be able to find crew members and officers for the ships that you manage. So by putting, you know, people on board the ships that they weren't capable, they weren't educated, they weren't trained enough to perform their duties, most of the shipping companies tried, I have to say, unsuccessfully, to bring the actual decision-making that it has to be taken on the ship ashore. That was terrible, but that was the only way to survive at that particular time. Nowadays, things are getting better, and just to add up a little bit more on my remarks earlier on, that is, the optimization has to start from the people on board the ship. They have to be educated and they have to be trained. And training is not something that you do it once, it is something that is continuous, and you have to do it every attendance on board the ship, either by a superintendent engineer or a port captain. He has to educate the people, he has to train the people. That's the ship. What is happening at the office? Exactly the same. People are coming straight away from the universities, they are coming from other companies, they have to be trained. They have to pass. We have to pass to them the culture and the mentality of the company. If we don't, as top management of the company, spend time with the people within the company, we are going to fail. Because we want, at the end of the day, they to take decisions like we would have done if we were in their shoes. Thank you.
Thank you, Theo. Andrea, would you like to add something?
Well, I will have to agree with Theo, especially with regards to the savings that they come from the ship. We all appreciate and we know the importance of the people on board. And on this basis, here, just to support a bit Despina's point of view, as a company, we have decided to invest for all our ships on internet on board, because this is becoming a norm. This is becoming something that actually the seafarers like to have. So on the equation of the wage levels, the welfare on board, and so on, internet nowadays plays an important role. So as long as it's done with care, yes, you need to do it and you need to invest. In addition to that, I would like also to refer a bit on the big data issue. And we have a client that decided to invest in full sensor technology, and the ships are actually monitored through the sensor system to the office, and we have live data. And for this particular client, it's important to have it, because they are more of a cargo company, therefore they need to provide their clients with live data. And as far as the performance of the ship is concerned, we have come across cases that, yes, it was useful and it helps monitor, it helps prevent, but still there's a fine line whether you should do it now or you should do it later. The large amount of clients we have, I would say 95%, they say no, not now, now it's not the time. Of course, we all know the markets, and of course, bulk carriers, this is not happening. Container ships, it could happen if you are a liner company, tankers not. But where we see this as well happening is on the cruise vessels. So on the cruise vessels, it's all about optimizing performance through technology and so on.
Indeed, the cruise vessels, they have an edge on technology. Well, with this, I hope we gave you a flavor of the different options in terms of optimizing technical manager and fleet performance. If there is any question from the audience, if Nicholas agrees, we are just on time. For the safe, thank you very much for putting together this panel. I think it gives a flavor on the other side of the story, not on the financing, but on the actual running the vessel. And thank you for your attention.